Hello there, friends. Colin Cook here, your host, this voice for the voiceless, my friend. And you're listening to How It Happens, this broadcast on the grace of God to men and women in conflict with various addictions. You know, people in addictions feel they are not Class A Christians. They have no right to claim Christ. Maybe some of you feel that you don't have a right to go to church. Listen, my friend, God justifies, that is, declares innocent the wicked, those who trust in him. And this is what this broadcast is about. Jesus, how we trust in this new humanity that has been given to us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Our Jesus is a friend. He is God who has come to the world as a man to take the burden of our humanity so that we might live the likeness of his humanity in his resurrection. Now, my friend, we're going to move soon into the book of Romans again, all over again, this delightful, beautiful blessing from God, the book of Romans that is explaining to us in great detail the good news about Jesus. But I want to review for you these three factors one more time, the three factors of addiction. And I want to do it not through weeks now, I want to do it in one session here, one time for you. Remember, all problems that you go through constitute three factors, or rather, all problems that you go through are constituted of three factors. Listen, spiritual delusions, emotional wounds, escapes from pain. Let's start at number three and go back to number one. You're escaping from pain, let's say. You medicate yourself. Maybe you eat a tub of ice cream every night. Maybe you just get fat. Maybe you drink and you go into oblivion every evening. Maybe you go online and get into the sex areas of the computer and you're not necessarily horny, you just want to forget life and the world and the job and the problems of life, and so you do your thing. Maybe you simply work endlessly. Some people have a very, quote, respectable kind of addiction. They escape from pain by just keeping busy 18 hours a day and then drop into bed and wake up, time to get going again. Now, we think that these problems are our problems, but they are escapes from our problems. The problem may be emotional wounds. Now going to number two, you see. That is the emotional wounds in childhood. Perhaps you had a deadbeat dad. Perhaps you had a dead dad. Perhaps you had a divorced dad, a dominant dad, a distant dad. Maybe it was a mother who was not affectionate to you. Maybe she was highly stressed. Maybe she didn't know how to hug you when you were hurting and let you come to her with all your little pains as a kid. Maybe she was taking out her frustration on you. Maybe it wasn't quite like that. Maybe her husband was absent and she found you as the next available male in the house, and she began to manipulate you and bring you into a situation where you felt responsible for her happiness instead of her being there for you. And so you developed a codependent relationship to your mom. All of these kinds of wounds affect your future life. If you grow up being responsible for everybody else's emotions and feel guilty if they feel bad, then of course you won't be able to stand it after a while, and the result will be that you will escape into your behaviors, whether they are drugs, sex, booze, whatever it may be, simply to forget all the stresses that the world puts on you. They don't really put those stresses on you. You take them on yourself. But then there is a compounded issue, and that is the spiritual delusions. If you've had a lousy childhood, a messed up childhood, a dysfunctional childhood, you will also have a certain perception of God. And your perception may be that God doesn't care, or God isn't very kind because he let this happen to me, or God is judging me through it, or I'm not very important because people just trashed me, or neglected me, or abandoned me. And so, you see, you will have a certain view of God, that he's an absentee landlord, or that he's very much present as a landlord, constantly nagging you about the condition of your apartment. And then comes this tendency, therefore, to push God out of the way. Now, when do you most likely push him out of the way? You most likely push him out of the way when you are doing your addictive escapes, because usually these addictive escapes are abusive to you or to someone else. You feel guilty, therefore. And since you feel guilty and ashamed, you will think that God is just out there to poke you and to remind you what a sinner you are and to threaten you constantly with judgment and hell and to give you no hope at all. Now then, if you have these three factors in your life, you will unquestionably be completely in bondage to addiction. Let me explain a little further how that works. A person, now let's start from, I went from 3 to 2 to 1, you know, I started with the escapes from pain, and then I went to the wounded childhood, and then I went to the spiritual delusions. Now let's go in the other order, 1, 2, 3, instead of 3, 2, 1. If you believe that God never came through for you, that God is a merciless judge, that God is a green-eyed monster, that God is out to get you and to punish you, the only way you will cope with that is to shut God out, simply to block him, to avoid thinking about him. He, the kind of God that you are thinking of, is just intolerable. It cannot be handled by any of us. Some people say, you know, many a preacher will say to us, accept Christ. But the point is, he never points out, or perhaps does not point out, what kind of Christ are we talking about? If Jesus is simply the judge with the sword in his mouth sitting on a throne of judgment in Revelation, in the book of as described in the book of Revelation, then, my goodness, we can't accept that Christ. That is a judging Christ. But if we know that Jesus is the Lamb, that's a different matter. We'll come to that in a minute. So, you see, if you have a distorted view of God, you will block God out. But what will that do? I'll tell you what it will do. You block God out, my friend, and you will slowly lose your sense of self, with a capital S. You see, I'm only a person with a sense of personality, with a sense of individualism, with a sense of center, when I am alive to my spirit, to my spirit in God. Otherwise, when God is closed out, I lose my center. I lose my sense of self. And I simply become a victim of forces outside of me, a victim of impulses, a victim of other people's actions upon me. Now that slowly leads me to such anger, to such rage, to such resentment, that the pain of those emotions will lead me more fully into addiction. In other words, then, my spiritual delusions will exacerbate or worsen my emotional wounds in childhood. They'll be even more terrible. My parents failed me, and God did as well. How could that possibly be? Two enemies against me, God and parents. If that's the view you have, then there is no recourse but to medicate to escape from pain. So then, you see, 1, 2, and 3 all work together. Now then, let's do this in reverse again, but not reverse 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1, but rather let's think of God not as the green-eyed monster, but the one who has come to comfort us, the Father who has come to protect us and redeem us, the one who has come to walk by our side and help us, to comfort us, the one who has come to forgive us. Oh, my goodness! When we understand this, our soul becomes a flower opening to the sun. We sense ourselves receiving a center again. We are people once more. We have a spirit. We have self-respect. We have honor, not because we are good people, but because God's love has shone upon us, because God has had mercy upon us. And when that happens, then we begin to re-evaluate what happened in childhood. We begin to see that though we were abused, though we were harmed, though we were hurt, though some tragedy happened, God's love works through the tragedy and turns what is the effects of evil into good. That God can take a bad situation and make something beautiful out of it. That God can exercise His grace through the sorrows and griefs of our life. And thus, what we thought was an intractable tragedy of childhood can become an instrument of grace. So then, understanding that God is not a monster out to get us, but a Savior out to help us, actually transforms our understanding of what happened in childhood. He's using these things to lead us to Him. Now, how do you think then that that affects our addictive escapes? The pain is not heavy, ponderable, and impossible. We now say, ah, thank you, dear God, that the escape that I want to go into, I don't have to so much. I realize that you are here. You are present with me. You lighten this pain. I take your burden upon me, and my burden becomes lighter. I thank you, dear Father, that you have not condemned me. You do not put me to shame. I don't have to escape the guilt and the shame of my life, for I am now innocent in Jesus. And so it goes, my friend. This is worth knowing, isn't it? Well, not only is it worth knowing, my friend, it is worth working with, and therefore I have a program for you for 7 weeks, starting on the 16th of April, the day after Tax Day. It's called Group, Let's Not Call It Psychotherapy. I'm asking for 10 people who would like to join this group for every Thursday night from the 16th of April right through to May, to the end of May. You'll meet at my house, 7 o'clock on a Thursday evening till 8:30, 10 of you. And what we will do, you will share your life. There's no specific theme. You create the theme by talking about your problem, and I, your counselor, will help you to explore that problem, to look at the background to it, to look at what's triggering it from your emotional wounds, your spiritual delusions, and to give you some guidance with it. How about that? If you want to join this group, my friend, it's $20 per Thursday evening for 7 Thursday evenings, and you must register by Tuesday, the 24th of March, by calling 303-738-8694. Now, I expect a full 100% commitment for the 7 weeks, my friend, because it's important that you all support one another. All right, so give me a call, 303-738-8694. Let me know you want to be part of the group, and we will begin on the 16th of April, going all the way through to the end of May. I expect for 10 people to be there, and I'm looking to hear from you, 303-738-8694. Group, Let's Not Call It Psychotherapy, and you will be really blessed by the work that we can do together. I look forward to hearing from you then. God bless, my friend. See you next time.